Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Samaches, and we are 18 lines from the top of daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis Rav Papa v'Rav Huna b'Reid Rabbi Shua. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu b'nei Yisrael Hanasuna b'Tzara v'Ashivi. Today's daf is being learned as a schos Rafua Shalema for Shmuel Simcha ben Freida, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Daniel Leib ben Yisrael. So the end of the previous daf discussed the halachos of ribbis as they intersect with a mashkanta. High level, if somebody lends money to somebody and the borrower gives the lender a field as collateral and the lender eats the peiros from that field during the term of the loan, in essence, he gave him ribbis. And it's for that reason that the sugyas of mashkanta are very much tucked away in Perek Ezel Neshech, because in your classic mashkanta, it's yitochen that there would be ribbis. Stating that, we saw the Gemara talked about what's known as a mashkanta binachyosa, isbekitzusa, lesbekitzusa, a whole bunch of variables that were discussed on the top of Daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis, some of which the Gemara is going to revisit in the course of today's Daf, but the Haschal of today's Daf is really a little bit of a digression. It's going to get involved in general halachos related to mashkantas. Now, high level, the Gemara is going to present two customs that existed once upon a time, as in Minig Yisrael Torah, as it related to how mashkantas were treated. So it seems there were some places that if a borrower gave a malva, a mashkanta, he had the right at any point to pay down the loan, and when he did that, he would get the mashkin back. No prepayment penalties. This was something that was built into the transaction. If he wanted to pay back the loan, he could take the mashkin back for himself. Meaning, as long as the loan's outstanding, the malva has rights to the mashkin. But the loiva has this option at any point to be able to get his mashkin back. There were places that, once it was agreed upon that the malva was going to take possession of the mashkanta, even if the loiva wanted to prepay this loan, he didn't have a right to do so. Now, why would the malva object to his loan being prepaid? It's because right now he has this mashkanta, he's working with it, he's being mashkia, he's allowed to benefit from it, could be it's not even ribbis, and as a result, the agreement is, I'm going to have it for a fixed amount of time. Even if the loiva wants to prepay it, he won't be able to. So there were places where if the loiva wanted to be masalik, the mashkanti wanted to take it back, but zuzi, it was something he was allowed to do. There were places that he wasn't allowed to do so, and as we'll see now, there are nafgaminas in halacha. Meaning, in Hilchis Mashkanta, depending on whether this Mashkin is in a place where if the Leva wants to be Masalikit, he can, or if it's in a place where if the Leva wants to be Masalikit, he cannot. It's on that note that the daf begins. Rapopo, V'Rav Huna, B'Rei, D'Rav Yeshua, Amri Travayu. So we often comment how sometimes the Gemara will say, Ravu Shmuel, the Amri Travayu. It's a chiddush, because usually Rav and Shmuel are on opposite sides of the aisle. Or the Gemara will sometimes say, Abaye v'Rava da Amit Travayo. Can move in Abaye v'Rava, maybe the most famous Bali Plukta in Chas. Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua were also big Bali Plukta. Thus, when they agree on something, it's news. So says the Gemara, Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, who so often argue over here, Amri Travayu. They both said the following. Hai Mashkanto, as it relates to a Mashkin, Ba'asra, the Masalki, if it's in a place where if the Leva wants to be Masalik the Mashkin with money, meaning he wants to give the Malva money and take his Mashkin back, it's something he has a right to do. So the Aloch is the follows. Number one, in Bal Choyv, Goy Vehimena. So what does this mean? A long Rashi. In the event that the malva dies, meaning the malva that's holding on to the mashkanta. Now, it turns out that this malva in another transaction was also a loiva. He had borrowed money from somebody. Now, when he died, the malva's own malva went to the yesoimen and he said, Avicha meis, he owed me money. I want you to pay up the money that he owed. Now, the halacha is that really Yisoyimim do not have an obligation to pay down the loan of their late father. Stating that, in the event that a man borrowed money, he had karka that was meshubed to that loan, and then he dies, although the Yisoyimim don't have an obligation to pay down the loan, that's a sugya of Mitzvah l'kayim, Devri Ameis, Prius Balchoyv Mitzvah, Sugyun, Perika Koisev, and Mesechtes Ksubas. But over here where there's karka, so the karka itself is meshubit, it's achroi to the loan, and as a result, the malva has a schus to go ahead and take the loan. So Rapop Rav Hunabreder Rav Yeshua said that in the event that there was a malva who had a mashkanto, who also was a loiva, and he died, and now the malva's own malva comes to the Yisoyimim, and he says, I want you to pay down the loan. And basing it on the fact that there's karka. Where's the karka? The mashkanta that the malva had from the previous transaction, or the loiv in this transaction had from the previous transaction when he was a malva. A little bit confusing. So the halacha is that in the event that this mashkanta is in an asra, the mesalki, the halacha is that the balchayv would not be able to take it. And the reason is because although it's true that this person, when he died, he had this mashkanta in his possession, but being that at any moment if the loiva would have wanted to take it back with money, that's something that he could have done. So we don't view it as karka in the possession of the malva. Rather, we view it as if the karka is really in the possession of the loiva. Right now, he's bargaining it. Right now, he happens to be using it. He has certain schusim in it. But we don't look at it as his karka. If it's not his karka, this is not a situation where a man died with leftover karka, where the Yisrael would be obligated to pay. Additionally, as it relates to this loan. So now the malva died, but the malva is not a loiva from some other transaction. He's only a malva. The yarshim now are going to yarshim this outstanding loan. So we know the halacha is that a bechor always gets pishnayim. The halacha also is that a bechor is only noitel pishnayim if it's muchzik. Ein a bechor noitel pishnayim b'roi kibbeh muchzik. So any possessions that a man has in his possession physically at the time that he dies, so the halacha is the bechor gets pishnayim. But if he didn't physically have it in his rishos, he's not going to get pishnayim. The question is, this loan, do you look at it as muchzik or do you look at it as roi? Really, it's roi. A loan is something that's a contingent asset. If you collect on it, you'll have it, but you're ever going to be able to collect on the loan. Well, this is a little bit different because over here he had the mashkanta in his rishos. He's holding on to the property. Since said Rav Papa Rav Hunabreder Rav Yeshua, in the event that you're dealing with a mashkanta, where if the loiva wants to go and be mesalik b'zuzi, he could. So then we don't look at it as if he has the money already in his possession, even though he's holding on to the mashkanta, because the loiva could be mesalik. Thus, it's ra'oi. It's not muchzik. The ina b'char noitel b'ra'oi kibbe muchzik. Therefore, the ina b'char noitel b'pishnayim. That's why the Bechor is not going to get Pishnayim. And finally, the third halacha that they said was Ushvias Mishamatata. We know Shvias is Mishamat loans, stating that if somebody lends money to somebody, Al Hamashkoin, there the halacha is, it's a Mishnah Mesechta Shvias, that loan is not annulled when Shemitah comes. Said Rav Papa and Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua, that is not true if it's a Mashkanta Ba'asr the Mesauki. In the event that the loiva could be Mesauki, that's not the mashkanta that Chazal said Shvius is not going to be Meshamet. Stating that, Uba Asra Deloy Mesalki. Let's say there's a mashkanta and it's in a land where the Minig HaMokim is not to be able to be Mesalik. So there the halach is Balchoy Goyve Menu. The inverse of the three halachas that we just mentioned. In the event that this man died and he was also a loiva, so then the Balchoyv would be able to take this mashkanta because we look at it as karka that's meshubit to that loan. Ubchar noitaba pishnayim, we don't look at this loan as being roi, we look at it as being muchzik. Thus, the regular halacha pishnayim is going to apply. The in shvius meshamatato, this is considered a malvala mashkin, and therefore shvius is not going to be meshab. Another halacha. Mazuchu mishmeid rapop. Mazuchu says the name rapop. Hai mashkanta, as it relates to a mashkanta, ba'asra de mesalki in the event that it's in a place where if the loiva wants to be mesalik, he can. Mesalki le, the loiva will be able to be mesalik, meaning he'll be able to take his mashkanta back, this field. Va'afilu mitamri da'budya. He'll be able to do so even if the tamarim, the dates, are already on the mat. So Rashi says that when people used to harvest their date trees, shoytchen machzolos tachas ad kolom, they would take mats and they would spread it out underneath the dekel. V'noiflen ha'tamarim aleihem. And the tamarim would fall on it. So if after the tamarim already fell on this abudya, and now the loiva comes with money and he says, I want my field back. He could take his field back at any point, that's not the question. But does he get those tamarim? Or maybe, being that it's already on the machzolos, so we look at it as if the malva was already koinet, meaning if the malva would have eaten pears, kamuvin, the malva would be able to keep those pears. So he didn't eat it, but it's right now on this mat. So could he take it or not? That was Rapapa's Chiddush, that You could be mesalakit va'afilu mitamri da'abudyo. V'agbehinu besisni. However, Rapapa continued, and he said that in the event that this malva already started harvesting it next level, meaning he already picked up all the tamarim from the mat and he put it into his baskets. Koninu, at that point he was koinit. How was he koinit? Bagba, pashit. He picked it up. So once he's koinit, at that point, now if the loiva gives the money, he won't be able to get those tamarim back. With Manda Amar, says the Gemara, a little bit of lumpness. According to the Manda Amar that holds Masechtas Bava Basra, Kelov Shel Loikeach Bershus Moicher Koina, that a person that buys something from somebody else, he could acquire that something with his kelim, kinyan chatzer azah, but a person can be koinah with his kelim, and even if the kelim is in the reshus of the moicher. So in this case, once the tamarim fall on top of the abudya, kono lekeach, the lekeach is going to be koinah, afilu deloyak bin abasis nikoninu, meaning even if manda amar kelim shal lekeach, reshus moicher, kono lekeach, then afilu deloyak bin abasis nikoninu, even if he didn't pick it up and put it into his basket, still the halach is that deloyva, even if he's mesalik bezuzi, won't be able to take it. And the reason is because even though he didn't lift it, he was koinah. How was he koinah? His mats were koinah. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is the mats are in the field where it's ba'asra the mesalki, which means who owns the field? It means deloyva owns the field. Thus, how could my kelim be koinah in somebody else's field? That's why the Gemara prefaces it. According to the man that holds that kelim shalikeach b'shus moicher, so in that instance, the halach is, even in that situation, he wouldn't be able to take it. Vayter, more on this in Yipshita. It's posh, it says the Gemara. Answer the Masalki, if you're in a place where the minig is that the lekeach has the right to be masalik his mashkanta by giving money. The Omar and the lekeach said, loy mistalak. So Rashi says that when did the lekeach say this? Or when did the loyva say this? Bishas matan mois hisna amanas shaloi tuchalis alkeini. It happened bishas matan mois, meaning literally at the time that this loan was issued, the agreement was that I know we're in a minig amokim where if I want to be masalik, I can, but I'm telling you now I'm not going to. So what's the halacha? Hakamad loy mistalak. He's not able to. I mean, it's no different than any other tonight, any other stipulation, any other condition, any other covenant that a loan might have. If this is what they agreed upon, then this is what they agreed upon. You're not a masna mashakas about Torah, you're being masna minig amokim, which is not a problem. And as a result, so there's no issues over here. Ella ba'asra the way misalki, but what's not poshid is what would be if they're in a place where the minig is that if the lekeach wants to be masalik, he can't. Meaning, once there's a loan for a certain amount of time, if you want to prepay the loan or take back your mashkin, you can't do the va'amah mistalakno. And the malva said that if you want to be masalik, no worries, I'll give it to you at any point. My, what's the halacha? What's the shayla? Meaning, why can't he? The question is, sorich lemikra minei oyla. Simply saying that this is something you're going to do, does that in of itself make it effective? Or maybe you would have to make a kinyan. And without making a kinyan, in and of itself, it wouldn't work. Now, why would you have to make a kinyan? He said it. So Rashi says, because if you don't make a kinyan, dibur ba'almahu. All it is words. It sounds a little bit like yesterday's daf. Pitume mili ba'almahu. Stating that, take a look at Tosfos, dibra maschal, the hilchas and tzorach lemikna minei, where Tosfos says, in lefarish, that the Gemara meets pitume mili ba'almahu, ayin trumpet. Either way, that was the shayla. The shayla was, in the event that the malva is the one that offers up this inyan, and he says that, I'll allow you to be mesalik if you want, would you have to make a kinyan, or the dibur ba'alma in and of itself would be effective? So the Gemara says, here was already machlek. So Rapapa amalei tzarech lemikna, Rapapa says, you don't have to make a kinyan. Rav Sheishes b'reide Rav Idi yomar tzarech lemikna. Some have the girsa Rav Sheisha b'reide Rav Idi says, you don't have to make a kinyan. V'ilchasam, what's the halacha tzarech lemikna minei? That unless you make a kinyan, we're going to view this as being dvarim ba'alma. Another halacha related to this mashkanta ba'asru the masalki. Omar, if the loiva comes over to the malva, so again, loiva gave the malva mashkanta, and it's in a place where if he wants to be masalik bezuzi, this is something he's allowed to do. So he tells him, Ezel, the icy zuzi. He says, you know, I have money set aside for paying down this loan, and I want to pay down the loan. So do me a favor, please don't eat any more payers. Hold on, I'm going to bring the money. So the halach is loy achel. At that point, the malva should stop eating from the field. And the reason is because apparently that was the minig amokim. Meaning this is not based on any objective halacha, but we're dealing with what the minig was. And the minig was that as soon as the loiva tells the malva that I'm going to get money, at that point you're supposed to stop, says the Gemara. What would be if he says, not ezel the icy zuzi, but he adds one not such subtle word. He says, Ezel v'atrach v'ayzizuzi. He says, do me a favor, hold on, I'm going to go and try to find money to be able to pay you back. Meaning, if he has the money sitting in an account somewhere, we know he's coming up with the money. If he says, Ezel, quote-unquote, v'atrach, so this is already one big mehechetesi. So the question is, at that point, does the malva have to stop eating or not? It was a machlex. Ravina amav ochel. Ravina says he could eat. Marzucha beidu amori amav ochel. Marzucha beidu amori says, no, even if he says, Ezel v'atrach, at that point, he's supposed to stop eating. The hilchsa, what's the loch, loy ochel, you're not supposed to eat. Zok the gemar. Returning to the top of the yom, which discussed mashkantas as it relates to ribbis. So, the Gemara said that although at first glance you would think that if somebody lends money to somebody, he takes a field as a mashkanta, and he's going to go now and he's going to eat payers, that would be Ribbis 101 or 101. Literally, you're violating Ribbis all over the place. Stating that there is a mahalach where this is something that's mutal lechatchila, and that is as long as it's done benachyasa. So what does benachyasa mean? Benachyasa means that the Malva and the Loiva agree that every single year that you eat from these payers, we're going to deduct a certain amount from the field. As long as there's some reduction in the outstanding principal, then the halacha is the Malva is allowed to eat the payers, and we don't view it as ribbis. Now, the Gemara said that a tzurba mirabanon, afilu benachyasa lo nechal. You should not get involved in these zachen. You shouldn't rely on this kula. But really, it's something that's mutter, hay mashkanta ba'asra, the mesalski lo nechal, elo benachyasa. But as long as benachyasa, this is okay. Now, what's the svara? And really, that's mavur, that the nachyasa did not have to be quid pro quo for the amount of payros that the Malva was going to eat. So they can reduce it by, I don't know, 5%, and it could be the payros would represent 10% of what the outstanding loan is. That's something that was considered okay. And the reason Rashi said on the top of the Yomin, and the Gemara is going to flesh it out now, is based on the fact that really it's a suffix how much payros this field is going to produce. Meaning you can't know for certain what the payros are going to produce, right? You could have a shana that's like this, you could have a shana that's like that. There could be a shidofoin, the nahar can come, and it could be shoite, there could be a yurokin, and all the different things that Chazal talked about in different sugis hashas, right? The tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, when he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is it going to be a shana kshuma or a shana kshuna? So you don't really know how this is something in terms of the way it's going to play itself out. As long as there's a fixed dollar amount that this loan gets reduced, regardless of what this field produces, so then in the event that we say that you're going to eat the payers, it's not going to represent ribbis. And the reason is because we look at it less as interest, more as if you're buying ke'ilu, the payers, for a certain dollar amount, the reduction of the loan. Thus, it's not ribbis, not even mechzikah ribbis, a little bit of a chiddush. Tzum rabbanon should be a little bit nizer, because, let's be honest, sugi nezo neshech, and if it's a sugi nezo neshech, almost by definition, it's mechzikah ribbis. But the bottom line is that that's the basic concept of nachyasa. So the Gemara says, tachlas, rab kahana, v'rab papa, v'rab ashi, loy ochli benachyasa. They would not eat nachyasa. Ravina ochli benachyasa. Ravina had a different minig. He used to eat benachyasa. Amar Marzutra. So Marzutra said, "My time demand the achav benachyasa. What's pshat in Ravina who used to eat benachyasa?" And really, this question is, "My time of the nachyasa b'chal." The whole idea of nachyasa is a little bit hard to understand. Meaning, at the end of the day, it sounds a little bit like ribbis. If it sounds like ribbis, who cares? You're reducing a certain dollar amount. So we just spoke out the answer. We already knew it from the end of yesterday's daf. Rashi speaks it out on the top of the yomim. But here the Gemara says, "Midah." So the Gemara says, you want to know the concept of nachyasa, the precedent to nachyasa? It comes from a parsha in the Torah. Which parsha? The parsha of the steyachusa. So Rashi says that we're talking specifically about someone that was maktish a steyachusa, where the halach is that if at any point he wants to be poided from haktish, he could. Up until yovel, once yovel comes, it goes to the kiana. But up until haktish, if you want to be poided, you could be poided. What's the formula in terms of how you pay them? So it's a complicated formula. It's chamishim shekel lebeis zera chaymer soira, based on 49 years of yovel. Meaning, let's say there's only 32 years remaining to yovel, so it's a fraction of that pro rata, cheshbening how much it is per year. But the bottom line is, if you want to go now and you want to be paid at a field back that you are makdish, the halachas you could, how much money do you give? It's a fixed dollar amount. Meaning,
what would you think you should give? Figure out how much the field is worth, and machacheshbin. That's usually the way you think of pidyon. But that's not the way it works. There's a fixed dollar amount, so speaks out the Gemara, when it comes to being poydah, a stay achuzah that somebody was makdish, shlav afalgaf, isn't the halacha, that although the ka'ocha perituva could be, by you being poydah now, you're going to get an huge amount of payers. Afal pikin amrachmana kaparakle barba zuzi. You paid it for 4 zuzim a year. Rashi says a seller. It's not the exact number, but it's roughly the number. Meaning it's a very small number that it ends up being. Zahachanami, so too as it relates to the halacha of ribis, the nachyasa loishna. It doesn't matter. Meaning, what do you see from Stei Achuzah? What you see from Stei Achuzah is the longest that Rashi spoke at on the top of the Yomid. What you see is that although you would think that when you're cheshbening payers that a field produces that should be dollar for dollar to the loan, but when you're dealing with future payers, because you don't know how much payers this field is going to produce, so then as long as you give a nominal amount, that in and of itself would be enough to be viewed as fair value, meaning it's a sale and there's person has a right to overpay and underpay. There's laws of oinah, but the point is, conceptually, that's something that's okay. You don't view it as dollar for dollar. If you don't view it for dollar as dollar, so memela in Hilchas Ribbis won't be a Ribbis problem either. Meaning, what are we taking from Stei Achuzah? We're taking one akuda. What we're taking is that when you try to determine the value of the future payers that a field's going to produce, it's going to be discounted, and it could be discounted in a dramatic way. The Torah discounted it in a dramatic way. I mean, the assumption is that this methodology of the way the Torah cheshben, being poydah stei achuzah, is not a gzeiras hakasef. This is not a tzoras erva, the beginning of Yovam Mitzvah. It's not a paraduma. There's some financial methodology to it. And if that's the case, we can now apply it to the laws of Ribbis, and it's based on that the laws of Nachiyasa work. So the Gemara says, Amanda, so the one that says it was Aser, I stay Achuzah Teichiach, why are you considering a Ribbis? If it works by stay Achuzah, so why shouldn't it work over here? Amal Lecha, so the answer is very posh. Stei Achuzah Hektishi. Stei Achuzah is Hektish. Vrachmana Oikmi Apidyan. No, he held it was Exeris Akasiv by stay Achuzah, that this is the way you point it. But Hoch over here, Havoihi. Umechsik ribs. Right? The Gemara sounds like it's saying two things. Number one, over there, it's a parish of Hektish. In the parish of Hektish, ha, Rachmano, ik me opinion. Chazal said, or the Torah said, that this is the way you pay them. But over here, you're dealing with Alva, number one. It's a different Indian. But more than that, it's also Mechsik ribs. So even if you want to go and you want to Shteltsu and you want to say, well, if that's the formula over there, why shouldn't it be over here? I'll tell you the difference. Here, there's something called Mechsik ribs. Over there, there's no issue of Mechsik ribs. And it's for that reason, over here, it's going to be different. Toisfis, it's the bottom Toisfis on Daf Samech Zayin Amad Beis, Dibra Maslo, Ravina, Ochel Ben Achiyosa. So Toisfis asks a bomba kasha. So Rav Kahana, Rav Papa, Rav Ashi, Loi Ochel Ben Achiyosa. Ravina was Ochel Ben Achiyosa. Frey Toisfis, Tame. The Le'il Amrinon, the Tzumra Mirabonon, Afila Ben Achiyosa, Loi Neich. The Gemara said on the top of the Yomid, that a Tzumra Abonon is not supposed to eat Ben Achiyosa. So Frey Toisfis, Akashin, Ravina, Ochel Ben Achiyosa. L'chayra, he went keneged the psak of Chazal, and that is a tsurim rabbon is not supposed to ibn achiyasa. So Tosfos says, "For oimer rabbeinu tam, the ravino loy hayeroitzel litel hashem velasis atzmoi tsurim rabbon." That although it's true, ravino was a tsurim rabbon, and based on that, he shouldn't have eaten. But it was miroiv and v'sanusoi. He was very, very humble, and he didn't see himself as a tsurim rabbon. And because he didn't see himself as a tsurim rabbon, so therefore he went ahead and ate. Rabbi Kiveger is mitzayin. He says ayin el yirabba irachaim soiv simin tafkuf nun dalet. And really, the poskim all say that you see from this rabbeinu tam a very big chiddush, and that is if you have someone that's a talmud chacham, he's a tsurim rabbon. And he wants to be an anav, and because of his anivas, he doesn't want to prav a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't want to prav a Tzum Rabbanan. Okay, you would say, Tavo Yal of Bracha, but that's only L'chumra, L'kula. If a Tzum Rabbanan is not that Ibn Achiyasa, so Ravino lo yoyo roitzel lite la Hashem, v'las is atzme Tzum Rabbanan, this is L'kula. This is something that a Tzum Rabbanan is supposed to be machmer. So you're going to say, no, I'm an anav, so I don't see myself as a Tzum Rabbanan. You would hear it much better going in the other direction, but over here, Lukula, since a very big chiddush, the Rabbeinu Tam said that a person has a right to be an anav and say that I'm not going to be noital shame velasis atzmi tzum rabban even Lukula. Another very interesting thing is Ravina. Tois Rabbeinu Tam said didn't even want to treat himself like a tzur mirabban. We've spoken about this many times. What is a tzur mirabban? Right, you find different adjectives that we use to describe Talmidei Chachamim in Chazal. One of the more popular ones is a Tzumri Rabbanan. But a Tzumri Rabbanan, based on a Lashon of Rashi in Masechtas Tainis, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, says it's a budding Talmud Chacham. Usually a Tzumri Rabbanan is like a yeshiva bacher slash young man. I mean, a Tzumri Rabbanan doesn't mean a yeshiva. Faket. It means he's dafke young. Ravina didn't even want to see himself as a Tzur b'mirabbanan. That's a much bigger chiddush. Meaning, if he didn't want to see himself as a Talmud Chacham, if you want to use the word Talmud Chacham precisely, you can hear that. But that he doesn't even want to see himself as a Tzur b'mirabbanan, that's a little bit of a chiddush. Either way, Zokta Gemara Vaita. Amr Ravashi. Ravashi said, Amr li sabi de Masa Mechasi. I heard from the Elter Yidin in Masa Mechasi. Stam Mashkanta Shata. Stam Mashkanta is for a year. Says Gemara, Lamayin Afkamino. Meaning, who cares? So the Gemara said, I'll tell you why. Meaning, even if you're in a place where the meaning is that if the Levi wants to be Masalik to Mashkanta, it's something he could do, but there's 1 year that you'd have to wait. So for the first year, you wouldn't be able to. It's only after a year that you'd be able to be Masalik. Rav Ashi said, I heard from the Sabi the Masa Mechasi, my Mashkanta. Why is a Mashkanta called a Mashkanta? The Shchune Gabe. It's because right now, it's his Shochen. Meaning, if you have somebody's field as a mashkin, so that person's field is your shachin. It's your neighbor. L'may nafkemina, says the Gemara, l'dina de bar metzra. It's negeya dina de bar metzra. This is a chiddush. That in the event that the loiva wants to go sell his field, the malva has the schus of dina de bar metzra. So the malva has the right of first refusal, and if he wants to buy it, he can buy it before whoever that lekeach is that wants to go ahead and buy it is. Either way, this next Gemara that we're going to learn from here until the Mishnah is another classic Eizeu Neshach. Amar Rava. Rava said, Leis Hilchasot, the halacha is not like Tarshi Papinoi, not like the Tarshi Papinoi, v'loike Shtori Mechaznoi, and not like the Shtori Mechaznoi, v'loike Chakiri Narshoi. So there was the Tarsha that was known as Tarshi Papunoi. There was Shtori, meaning certain Shtori, certain documents that were popularly drafted in Mechusa, known as the Shtori Mechaznoi, and there were certain Shtori Chakiras that were done in the place of Narsha. So all of those transactions, the great Rav of Paskin, are not okay. Tarshi Papunoi, issue. Shtari Mechaznoi, issue, Chakiri, Nashai, issue, and by the way, all for the same reason, all because of Ribbis issues. Says the Gemara, what are these transactions? Kitarshi Papunoi, what were the Tarshi Papunoi? So that we know already. It's Kitarshi Rapapa. It was Rapapa's Tarshi. What was Rapapa's Tarshi? Rapapa was a Moicha Sheikhar, and Rapapa was Zuzi Loi Tzarichna, and Shichroi Loi Posidna. He had a good thing going, and Rapapa felt that it was never in his interest to sell his beer during the Shar Hazoil. So the beer market used to fluctuate. So during the Tishrei months, beer traded for less than it did during the Nisan months. And as a result, most people, when they sold beer, and they had to for cash flow purposes, so they would have no choice. They would end up getting less money. But Rapapa didn't need the money, and his beer didn't spoil. He had a good system of how he was able to preserve it. And as a result, for Rapapa to sell at the Shas Hazoil really didn't make any sense. So what Rapapa used to do is he used to tell people, listen, if you want to buy now, you can buy, no problem. But I'm going to take Kishar HaYoyker. You'll pay me based on what it's going to be in Chodesh Nisan or Tkufas Nisan. And not just that, he would say, listen, if you want, you don't even have to pay me now. Pay me later. So essentially, it looked a little bit like there was some Aganata going on because Rapapa's giving them the beer right now, fronting it to them. They're not giving him any money. They're going to pay a lot more than what they got because they're going to pay in Nisan, based on the Shahr of Nisan, and Rapapa still thought it was okay. The reason Rapapa thought it was okay, he said, because I'm not gaining from it. He said a tremendous chiddush. He said, the Torah refers to Ribbis as Ribbis, Marbis, Tarpis, right? That's the word that's used. And as a result, the Torah is saying, you, the lender, don't benefit from such transactions. I'm not benefiting from it. It's neither here nor there. Imamish doesn't move my needle. And as a result, he said, I don't think it should be Ribbis. Now, the Chacham didn't like it, because the Chacham said, it's very nice, you're not benefiting, but they're losing. And just like the Torah refers to Ribbis as Ribbis, Torah also refers to it as Neshach. And Neshach is mitzad loiva. Like Rashi says, it's like a snake that deposits a little bit of venom inside a person. It's Neshach, and before the person knows, its whole life falls apart. But the point is that there's an idea of Ribbis is an idea of Neshach. From the Neshach perspective, it's not okay. So here the Gemara Paskins, oh my Rava, anyways. Les Hilchasa Ketarshi Papunoi. Okay, that we knew already. Shtori Mechaznoi. What exactly were the Shtori Mechaznoi? So the Gemara says, the Zakvile the Ravcha Akarna. So what happened is, this was a business transaction that was done between two people. Now, really, the background of the Shtarim Mechaznoi is the Iska, which is going to be the topic of the next Mishnah. It's going to take us into tomorrow's daf, and it's going to segue very neatly into what we know today as the Heter Iska. But the real background to this line is the Iska. We're going to be mocked in what the Iska was before we start the Mishnah. So, Beis Hashem, Mikano Labolam Afreya, hopefully this will make a little bit more sense. But high level, the Iska was a financial arrangement that was done between two people. One person had money, the other person had Tzchayra, and they would agree, I'll front the money, you'll invest sweat equity, and together we'll go make money and we're going to split the profits. What they used to do in Mechuzah was the two partners would come together and they would agree on what the anticipated profit of this transaction is supposed to be. And then they would take that profit and they would build it into the underlying transaction. So just to put numbers to it. So let's say you have an investment partner and an operating partner. The investment partner is going to give $1,000. And the agreement is that they're going to split the profits and the losses 50-50. But come over, when they meet together and they drink l'chaim, they don't think there's losses. They think there's going to be profits. Okay, how much profits are there going to be? There's going to be 20% profits. Oh, so for the $1,000 invested, we're going to make $200. Now, if the person fronting the money is going to get 50% of that $200, it means he's going to get $100. So when they wrote up the shtar, what they wrote was not that the Bala Momin gave $1,000. They wrote that he gave $1,100. They would take Lashon HaGemara, they would zakfile l'ravcha karna. They would take the ravcha, the chelik of the ravcha, the mechtzischar that this Bala Momin is going to end up getting, and they would back it into the underlying keren. V'kosfule b'shtara, and they would incorporate this in the shtar, meaning because they assumed that it was going to play out like this, and based on that, they felt that why not just put it, build it into the underlying keren. And Rava, who was the Rava Mechuzah, ki yadua, and Rava, who was always giving teichacha to the Bnei Mechuzah, ki yadua, and the Bnei Mechuzah, who we know were lackadaisical when it came to different areas in halacha. So Rava, this was one of the things he had a big problem with. And he told Olam, you can't do that. And he said, why? Because mi yemer d'haver ravcha. Who said there's going to be profit? And really, the oimikid is as follows. Again, we'll see in a minute how the iska works and why there's no problem with the Iska. But the reason there's no problem with the Iska is because at the end of the day, it's a business transaction. The profits aren't guaranteed. The losses aren't guaranteed. And as a result, there's risk involved, etc., etc. It works. But over here, essentially what you're doing is you're guaranteeing a certain profit. And once you're guaranteeing a certain profit, you're writing in the shtar that you didn't give $1,000, you gave $1,100, which is not emes. So now it's mamish ribbis. You gave $1,000 and you're writing $1,100. That even sounds like ribbis ketsutza. And based on that, Rava Shrai, and Rava said it's not okay because mi yemer da have ravcha, and being that you're putting the ravcha in, even though we don't know for sure there's going to be ravcha, that's mamish shmidus. Amalei mar bar amemer, the Ravashi is a mar bar amemer, told Ravashi, you should know abba avad hachi. My father amemer, he used to do this transaction. The shtori mechaznoi, the tata amemer, the great amemer used to do this. Now he added, he said v'chi asul kamei mehemelu. But the reason he did it, and the reason he wasn't concerned with Rava, is because what he would do is as follows. What he would do is that in the event that the operating partner would come to the Bala Momin, and he would tell him, listen, you know, I know we anticipated a 20% return, but you have to realize, you know, certain things out of my control, for Shteitzach didn't work out, and, you know, the economy, there's a recession, etc., etc. And he would say, I apologize. Instead of making 20%, we ended up losing 20%. So Amemar, in that situation, he would believe them. So as much as he put it into the shtar, but he never enforced it. And because he never enforced it, so therefore, Mar bar Amemer told Ravashi, Amemer held it was okay. Meaning, if you're going to enforce it, it's a problem. But if you're not going to enforce it, it's not. Now, if it wasn't enforced, why was it there? It was there because he wanted at the closing to say, remember, don't tell me later you never said, it's in the shtar that you're anticipating a 20% return and that my chelik of it is going to be a full 10%. So he wanted it in the shtar because he thought this was a good zikaron, Lidoris, that this is the way it was supposed to be. It's a good incentive, right? But at the same time, being that he was never going to enforce it, he held it wasn't a problem. So Rav Ashi heard this, he told Marbar Amemer, Amalei, Teina, Chechad Isalididei. I understand. Okay, your father wanted to do that, but say there, meaning your father is an Erlich person, and if he says that he's not going to enforce it, I trust he's not going to enforce it. And based on that, I would hold it's fine. But Ishach of an Afel, Shtar Kami, ask me my, what's going to be, meaning, what would be if your father dies? And if your father dies, then the Yisoyim are going to yash in this loan, and the Yisoyim are going to get a loan that Sin has $1,100, they're going to be today, $1,100. It turns out there's mamish ribbis going on over here. So a neimer, yeah, he knows all the nuances, all the intricacies, but when a man dies, the children very often don't have any idea of what's going on with all the financial things that they yarshin. And as a result, this can end up being a very big problem. So the Gemara says that when Rav Ashi said this, it was hevikish gogo sheyoytzim alifnei ashalit. Mamish, the words came out of the mouth, the holy mouth of Rav Ashi, v'noch nafshid ha-meimer, and ha-meimer ended up leaving this world, just a postscript to this shtar. Either way, the third thing that Rava said last Hilchasa is kechakiri narshoi. So, who were the chakiri narshoi? So, narsh is a place. What's a chayker? So, a chayker is somebody that works somebody else's field, and there's an arrangement that you provide the field, I'll provide the work in the field. In exchange for that, I'm going to give you a certain dollar. I'm going to pay rent, basically, for working this field. A certain dollar amount that is going to be deposited into the account of the Baal Asad. Now, to be clear, there's an Oris and there's a Chayker. There's Arisus and Chakirus. They're Me'inyin Le'inyin, very much Ba'isa Inyin. There's Tzad HaShavuz, but Le'roi Zekeroiza. Oris gives a percentage of whatever payrus this field produces to the Baal HaSada. As opposed to the Chakiris arrangement, you don't give a percentage, you give a fixed dollar amount. The issue that we're going to discuss in this Gemara is unique to the Chakiris, and it's unique to the fact that it's a fixed dollar amount. Regardless of what this field produces, there's going to be a certain amount of money that's going to come to the Baal HaSada. Okay, so what was the Chakiri now, Shoy? The Kasvi Hochi. They would write as follows. Mashkin le planya are le planya. So you had a malva and a loiva. The loiva would take his field and he would give it to the malva as a mashke. The hodar, after the malva took the field, and this actually made a lot of sense, chokra mine. The malva would take the field and he would give it back to the loiva and he would tell the loiva, I want you to do a chakiris, meaning I want you now to work this field for me. Meaning, you have a malva, he's a money lender. He's not in the business of operating a field, but he just lent somebody money, he needs collateral. So the collateral that he took is the loiva's field. So he tells the loiva, listen, what am I supposed to do with your field? I don't own a rake, right? What am I supposed to do with this thing? So he tells him that you work the field. That's really your field. And you'll give me a fixed dollar amount. And this is something that they used to do in Narsha. And really, if you think about it, it should be okay. But also if you think about it, schmecks like ribbis, right? Why is it shmek like ribbis? Because basically what's happening is the malva's lending the loiva money and the loiva is at some point going to pay back the loan, and in the meantime, every month he's paying him rent. Now, it's not really the way it's being structured. Right? This is a smart Jewish lawyer. The way it's being structured is the loiva gave the malva a mashkin, and now the mashkin is farming out, pun intended, this field for somebody to go ahead and work it. He can give it to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. So why can't he give it to his loiva? The loiva is now the one that's working the field, and he's giving him a certain dollar amount. He just figured out a way to circumvent the whole system, and as a result, he's getting the shtickle ribbis here. So based on that, you would think that this is something that maybe could be okay. So again, it doesn't pass the smell test, but at the same time, it seems to check off all the boxes, right? Where is this flawed? And that's why they used to do it. Stating that, Rava said it's not okay. And the reason Rava didn't like it is for the following reason. He said, because Amos kono da akne nale. If the malva was koine the field, so it's a designer field, so now I hear it. But he was never koine. And the point is not that because he was never koine, therefore. It's that, being that you were never koine, it looks like ribbis over here. Meaning, at the end of the day, it's the loiva's field. So the loiva is now going, and he's going to work his field, and he's going to give you now an extra dollar amount. That is very much mechzik ribbis, and it's for that reason it's going to be a problem. But the Gemara says, but in the nowadays, the kakasvi hochi, nowadays, that they write as follows, konina mine, v'shohino kamo idni, v'hoda chakra. Now, when the chakiri did not show, when they do these transactions, so they tweaked it a little bit, right? So they worked with the rabbanim to try to make the shtar work. And what they did was, since they said that the malva is going to work the field by himself for a certain amount of time, kamo idoni, a certain amount of time. Rashi rather throws in a amount of time. He says, tlashne, that's a significant number when you talk about fields. See Perek Cheskes about it. But the point is that the malva, before he would do this transaction, he would work the field by himself for 3 years, the hada chakra, and then he would lend it out, kadesh leitinol delas bifnei loven, to try to stimulate loans, which is good for the Jewish economy. Shapradomi, they said it's going to be fine. Meaning, ba'etzim it works. Narvas, it's very much mechzik kedivis. If you work the field first for 3 years, even though it's not your field, but now already it feels a little bit like your field, in that case, it's fine. But the Gemara said, "No, Rava didn't like it," and that's why Rava said that the halacha is not like the tarshi or the shtaris and these transact the hakirin arsha. I forgot which one we were up to. It's not like this transaction that happens. Again, we went through these Gemaras way too quickly, like we do with everything, certainly in these very, very difficult sugyas. But either way, Megate like this, as it relates to the next Mishnah. As promised, we just have to preface the concept of the Iska. Now, when we talk about an Iska, it's not to be confused with the Heter Iska, although the Heter Iska is based on a true story, it's based on the Iska. But again, we're not talking about where two people are involved in some financial transaction and one person wants to lend money to the other person and not have to worry about the Issa Ribbis. Thus, we have the great creation of the Rabbanim known as Hetris. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a transaction that was a Iska transaction. So, once upon a time, there was a very popular transaction known as an Iska. The Iska came into being because of a basic need within the business world, which was, you have two people. One person had money, and the other person had a certain know-how. The two people got together, they wanted to make money together. So the person that has money goes over to the person that knows this fach, he says, "I'll front money, you provide your knowledge and your sweat equity, we'll go, we'll split the profits, just to keep it simple, we'll split it 50-50. It doesn't have to be 50-50, but again, for the sake of simplicity, we'll split 50% of the profits, we'll split 50% of the losses." In order to facilitate something like this to happen, which is something that makes a lot of sense, Chazal created the vehicle known as the Iska. The Iska is, in the words of Chazal, Pal Gemilva U Pal Gepekot. So the Bala Mammon would front 100% of the capital, but 50% of the money would be structured as a milva. The other 50% of the money would be structured as a pekadin. And because it was structured, pal gemilva, pal pekadin, therefore they were able to go forward with what it is they want to do, and that is we're going to split the profits 50-50 and we're going to split the losses 50-50. So just to be able to conceptualize this a little bit better. In the event, the person with the money, the investing partner, would tell the operating partner, "I'm going to give 100% of the money," which is what happened, "and I want it to be 100% alone," which is probably what he would want it to be. It would certainly benefit the investing partner. Why? Because now the operating partner is on the hook, 100%. He just borrowed money. So whenever the loan is due, you're going to have to return 100% of it. The problem with that is that the investing partner now would not be able to earn any return on his money. Because if you lend somebody money, you're not allowed to take interest. That's Ribbis 101. And based on that, that would be an issue. If he were going to structure it, the investing partner, 100% as a pikadin, so that would mean that really who owns it? It's something that belongs 100% to the investing partner. So what would be if the operating partner goes and invests it and he loses the money? So who would have to eat the losses? It would be the investing partner would have to eat the losses. Now, if the operating partner was a pesheya, good, shomer pekadin, chayvim shiya, depending on what type of shomer he is, but for sure an oinus, let's say, right? So he would be on the hook for any losses that happen. So it's not a deal that any investing partner or lechuru would ever engage in, because he's not interested in taking 100% of the risk. Meaning, you want to invest my money, no problem. You're going to have to share the risk with me. So in order for the investing partner to be able to earn a return, but at the same time, not be on the hook for 100% of the losses, Chazal devised this Iska, which was, they said, what you should do is structure the money as 50% milva, 50% pekat. Now, what that means in English is the investing partner is going to put up 100% of the money. But the way the money is going to be structured is 50% of it is going to be an investment, and the other 50% of it is going to be a loan to the operating partner that the operating partner is going to go and he is going to invest. So he's fronting 100% of the money. 50% of it, Betiris, it's my money. You have my money. You're investing my money on my behalf. You're a shomer pekadin. The other half, the other 50%, I'm loaning to you with the understanding that you're going to take that money and you're going to invest. If you do it like that, now you can split the profits and you can split the losses perfectly. How so? Let's say this goes ahead and it was $1,000 and it made $200. Okay, so the investing partner can take $100. The reason he can take $100 is because although it's true he loaned $500, but 500 of it, half of the money, was really a pekadin. On the loan chelik, he's not allowed to take a return. That's ribbis. But on the pekadin, it's his. So his pekadin just went up in value, and as a result, there's no reason not allowed to take the money. Now, if he would take 100% of the profits, it would be a problem. Why? Because 50% of the profits is not associated with his pekadin. What is it associated with? The money that he loaned. That would already be ribbis. But he's only taking 50% of the profits. Well, 50% of the money is a pekadin. So 50% of it is something that he's allowed to take. In the event that it loses money, so he's going to be on the hook for 50% of the losses. Makes a lot of sense. 50% of his, so 50% of losses he's going to take. The other 50% is guaranteed, right? That's guaranteed. Why is it guaranteed? Because he loaned it. He loaned it to the operating partner, and as a result, the operating partner is going to have to return 100% of the 50%. And it's for that reason it works. So the isk is palga milva, palga pekadin. It checks off all the boxes from the risk analysis. It allows you to make profits. It allows the losses. And as a result, it's going to work. Now, we said earlier that the number of palga milva, palga pekadin, 50-50 is lav dafka. It doesn't have to be 50-50. They could structure it 80-20, 70-30. They can negotiate it however they want to negotiate. You just have to make sure that the amount of profits and losses that the investing partner is going to get is going to be relative to the amount of this that's going to be pekadin. So if he wants 80% of the profits, no problem. Then make it 80% pekadin and 20% milva. But as long as his profits and losses go kineged, they correspond to the chelak pekadin, like this is not going to be an issue. Stating that, there is one problem. There's one flaw in the iska, and that's what our Mishnah is about to address. The flaw is, why is the operating partner doing this? Meaning, why is he doing this? Why is he taking somebody else's money, investing it, and giving him 50% of the profits? It's very obvious why he's doing it. He's doing it because this person is lending him money, and as a result, allowing him to keep 50% of the profits. Now, they did it in a way where it's kosher v'yosher. But here's the problem. The problem is the operating partner is a loiva on 50% of it, and because of the fact that he borrowed money, he's now going and he's giving something to the Baal Ha'mamon. What's he giving him? He's doing all the work for him. So the reason he's doing the work is because of the fact that he's a borrower, which means he's giving something for the loan, which means that the Baal Ha'mamon is getting something in return for the fact that he loaned the money. And being that right now there's an even exchange, or you have an aganater, so that in of itself should be ribbis. Meaning the 50% profit that the Baal Ha'mamon is getting is not an issue, because the 50% profit is only connected to 50% pekadin. But the problem is, at the end of the day, all the work that's being done to generate that 50% profit, that's being done for one reason and one reason only, because you loaned me money. So if that's the case, I'm essentially giving you something of value, and if that's the case, there's ribbis. So the question is, then, why is it so poshut that this iska works? L'churid, from that perspective, there should be a little bit of a problem. Chazal knew this, they anticipated this. Ad kidei kach, there's a Mishnah, not just a Gemara. There's not just a Rabbeinu Tam. There's a Mishnah that addressed this problem, and that's the Mishnah we're about to learn right now. Zok the Mishnah. Ein bo yishivin chenveni l'mechza schar. In the event that you have a chenveni, and this chenveni is a storekeeper, he needs schar in order to sell. So, guy comes over to him and he tells him, I have a farm, I grow different types of tefuah. I'm happy to provide you with the tefuah. You'll go ahead and sell it. I don't have any retail outfit to be able to, you know, sell it at a good price. And we'll be shutfin together. We'll go 50-50. I'm going to give you the payrix. You have the chenveni. You'll operate the store. And we'll split everything together. And they structure it like an iska. Palgen, milva, palgen, palgen. We're going to go machzis char, machzis hefzid. We're going to split everything down the road. So the halacha is that ein moishim in chenveni lemachzis char. It's not so posh. You can't just go ahead and do this. Additionally, what would be, not the same case, but eerily similar. The Gemara is even going to ask what these two cases for. It sounds almost the same. Where somebody goes over to the chenveni and he gives the chenveni not payers, but he gives him money. He says, I understand that you have a business. I'm going to front you with capital. You're going to go ahead. You're going to buy the payers. You're going to sell it. And we're going to go 50-50. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to do this, even if you do it as an iska, Elam came nice schar kapayel. Unless, on top of everything else, you give him a little bit of extra. What do? You pay him like a pile. What does it mean you pay him like a pile? So the Gemara is going to say. But conceptually, what it means is you pay him for his tercha. If you pay him for his tercha, so now we're even. Additionally, not let him give eggs to somebody that has chickens for his chickens to lay these eggs. Where you're going to split the profits 50-50. Additionally, if somebody has an eagle or a siach, these are these baby animals. So you now let him figure out the value of the agolim and the siachin, give it to a professional herdsman, and have this person go and raise your animals, where you're going to split the profits. Elam came nicely, schar amole yumazoine. Unless you pay him for the amelus, any work that this person's going to do, or you pay him for the food, meaning, again, you always have to cheshbin that added tircho, or in this case, even the mezoinus, otherwise you're not allowed to do this. Av makablin, the Mishnah does say, if you want, you could be makabal agolim usiachin lemechza. If you want to be mekabel agolim usiachin lemechza, that you can. So you have to read this a little bit more carefully to see the difference. In shomin agolim usiachin lemechza, avol mekablin agolim usiachin lemechza. So Rashi says the difference is shomin is when you figure out how much it's worth. If you figure out how much it's worth, that means that there's a loan component over here. Otherwise, why are you figuring out how much it's worth? Obviously, because you're going to want him to pay you back 50% of it. There's a mechzas milva. So that's not okay, because that's an iska. Now you have the ribbis problem of the schara molyum zayna. If, however, you don't assess how much it's worth, so then it looks like the owner of the agolim and the siachim is 100% on the hook. It's 100% a pikadin. If it's a pikadin, then there's no ribbis. As a result, that's not going to be an issue. Another alachum agadla noisan achiyah mishuloshin. This is literally parenthetically, but derech agav, in the event that you give agolim and siachim to somebody, you sign a contract, you're going to raise it. So, how long does he have to be busy with this? Till it grows a shlish. Once it's mishuloshim, it grows a shlish. At that point, you already satisfied your contract. The chamar actually take tayenis. As it relates to giving somebody a chamar, once it's big enough and it's strong enough to be tayenis masoy, Rashi says, it's able to carry a load. At that point, you already did everything that you're supposed to do again. So what was the point of the Mishnah? The point of the Mishnah comes after knowing what an iska already is. But isn't there a problem that the operating partner is lamaisa working for the loan, benefiting the owner of the money for the loan, and as a result, l'chura, based on that, this should be ribbis. The answer is, you pay him. So how do you pay him? The Mishnah says, noisim v'ischaroi kapayel. You pay him like kapayel. So it's a little bit vague, and the first Gemara now, really going into tomorrow's daf, is going to explain what exactly that means. Tani, we learned in a braisa, kapayel bottle. What it means is, you pay him like a kapayel bottle. My kapayel bottle, Amar Abaya. Abaya said, kapayel bottle shall oisem melacha the bottle minah. So this has some perikachoyvel vibes. But the point is, we take a look at what this person usually does for a living, what he's going to be busy with now because of this transaction. Now, it sounded like this is what he does for a living. But we take a look at what this person typically does, what he's going to be doing now, and we ask him, how much money would you be willing to forego for being able to, instead of doing maybe this more difficult labor that you usually did, this, that is the value of this work, and it's that yet you have to pay. So, the Gemara, v'tzricha, now v'tzricha is actually not behemshich to what Abaya just said, but it's going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, right in the beginning, it mentioned two cases of iska. It mentioned more than two, but the very, very first part of the Mishnah mentioned too that sounded almost identical. One is when a person goes over to a chenveni and gives him tfuah and he says, let's go 50-50. The other is when a person goes over to a chenveni, he gives him money and he says, buy the tfuah and we'll go 50-50. So what do you need these two cases? So in light of what Abaya just said, the Gemara says, I'll explain it to you. Because had it said the case of chenveni, meaning where you're giving Paris to a chenveni. Chenveni, who the sagi like a paya bottle. I would think that over there, being that you're already giving him the Paris, so it's sagi like a paya bottle, you don't have to pay him more than this nominal amount of the paya bottle. Because he's not going to have to work so hard. But let's say you're giving him money to go buy Paris, then he's going to have to work a little bit harder. Maybe you have to give him a little bit more. Had you only had the latter case where you gave him the money to go buy the Paris, Peres. I mean, I would have thought Hazam would have bought a Kapayel bottle. There, you need to give him a Kapayel bottle. Mishum Danafish Terche. It's a lot of work, thus you're giving him at least a decent dollar amount. But a Chemedi where he's not doing that much work. Maybe even a Mashu should be okay. Maybe all you have to do is give him a little tzir. I give him a shtick hating. Give him a little fish sauce. Or eat a Gregris with him. I'm just giving this what Chazal referred to as a mashu. Maybe zel schari. Maybe that would be enough. Tzricha. That's why Chazal wanted us to know that the time of this mishnah holds, it's always kapoyel bottle. It doesn't matter if it's a little bit of work, if it's a lot of bit of work. That's always going to be the shit. Now tomorrow's daf, we're going to see there's a whole bunch of other shitas as it relates to how much you have to give him. But as it relates to the sheet of the mishnah, you always give him kischari bottle. So exhale. And as it relates to raid, we're going to do a little pivot here. And instead of speaking out the longer raid bite, which was a little bit more related to today's daf, just to go back to something that we left on the table yesterday, which, if you're keeping score, was really 2 days ago's daf, and just to speak out one ha'ara that is a ha'ara. So the Gemara on the bottom of daf samachei on the days, it was really the beginning of yesterday's daf, said as follows: Ahu gavra dezavanli ara lechavrei shalei b'achrayis. There was a person that sold a field to his friend, and he sold it to him shaloi b'achrayis, meaning there was no stipulation in the contract that said that in the event that somebody comes and takes this field away, he's going to have to be made whole. Chazio dehava ka'atziv. And the seller saw that the buyer, the person that bought this property, he was atziv, he was sad. He was ungezetz. Amaleisi told him, "Am I atzivas?" He said, "Why are you so angry? Or why are you so sad? Why are you so disappointed?" Itar filaminach, meaning obviously because you didn't negotiate achrayas. He says, if anyone comes and takes this property away, magbino loch shufra, I'm going to reimburse you, but I'm not just going to reimburse you. I'm going to give you shufra, and not just that shvachu peiri. I'm going to make you whole for all the shvach and all the peiris. Amr Ameimar said, even though they were all smiling and they were all happy as this was happening, and everybody feels great about themselves. Oh, but bitumi mili ba'almohu, this is literally worth lotzer al pitzul chisay. And if this moicher decides that he doesn't want to live up to his end of the deal, it's not a nice thing to do. Right? There's a concept of a mishapara that we learned a lot about in Parakazal, but at the same time, it's not halachically binding. Had it been done in the onset of the negotiations, Tosfos says maybe it would have been binding, but in this situation, it was done towards the end. Betumei mili ba'alma, it's for that reason, this is not something that you have to be concerned with. So the Gemara began that there was somebody that sold a piece of property to his friend, Shaloi Bachrayis, Chazya, and he saw the Havaka Otziv, that he was very, very depressed. What came to mind, this is a stretch, but what came to mind is a Gemara in Mesechtes Brochis, Daf Hei Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Omer Rab Zeira Vitemi Rab Chanina Bar Papa. Rab Zeira, and some say it was Rab Chanina Bar Papa, said, Boyu Rei Shaloi Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. Give a kick. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Kemidas Basav Adam. Midas Basav Adam. Adam Moicher Chefetz HaChaver. If somebody sells a Chefetz to his friend, Moicher Otzev, the person that sells it is ungezetzt, he's very sad. V'loikeach Sameach. And the person that buys it is very besimcha. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einoike. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. Nosam Le Torah to Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Yisrael. V'samach, and he's happy about it. Shenema ki lekach toiv nasati lechem torasi al tazayim. So ordinarily, says the Gemara, when a person sells something to somebody, the meicher is atzev, and the lokeach is sameach. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold the Torah to Klal Yisrael, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy, as the pasuk says, ki lekach toiv nasati lechem torasi al tazayim. So this adds just a kinach to the Gemara that we just learned. You have a Gemara, where the Gemara says, Ahu gabed ozomali ar lechem. It's connected to before the Gemara. Brachas tafei amar aleph. So like, hey, it's supposed to be besimcha. The meicher. Now he looked at him. He says, "I'm the one that's sad. Why are you sad? Well, we're all depressed. Like, what's going on over here? Somebody, you know, needs some of a papa sheicher. Like, what's going on here?" So the Gemara says the lekeach is supposed to be besimcha. The meicher is the one that's atzev, and it just adds a little bit of a knetch. But I'll tell you a davar niflin. This was a segue. A davar niflin that I saw on Yontif. Rav Shmuel Yankif in the Haggadah. Brings from the Goy. The Goy is in Shir Hashirim. It's in Perek Gimel. It's Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's on a Pasuk. Everybody knows. Se'enu re'enu b'noi se'siyim ba'melech shloim. Ba'atorah she'itrulay imay b'yoyim chasu nasay u'b'yoyim simchas libay. And the Goy says, Dover Nifla. The Goy says that the Gemara in Masechtes Brachos, Daf Yamed Aleph, says
Bayu Reisha like him, the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Midas Pasav Adam. Midas Pasav Adam, when somebody sells something, the Meicher is Otsev and the Lakeach is Samech. Aval Kaddish Baruch Hu, Enochim, Kaddish Baruch Hu sells the Torah to Klal Yisrael and the Eibush is Besimcha. Ki Lekach Toiv Nasati Lechem Teirasi Al Tazoivu. Right, sounds like it's coming from a place of Simcha. So the Goyim said, it's a Pella. He says, how do you understand it? Why is it that when a person sells something to somebody else, the person is Ba'atzvas, because he doesn't have it anymore. So you had something, it's an heirloom, it's something that means a lot to you, you were forced to sell it, as a result, you don't have it anymore, you just parted with something that means so much to you, Sameich HaRotzev. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote-unquote, sells the Torah to Klal Yisrael, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a Shaychus with the Torah anymore, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Shaychus with the Torah. So Freik the guy in Eina Moshel, Beim Ala Nimshel. The Meicher is always Otzei because the Meicher just parted with something. But over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has the Torah. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has the Torah, so what does it even mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have been Otzei? Narvas, Bayu Reisha, Loikam Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basav Adam. Says the guy. Abedo Inyan Hu, Shna HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shanasan Kol HaTorah LiYisrael. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he gave the entire Torah to Klal Yisrael. Va'av Sha'oisik B'Torah. And you know what that means? That even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is Isaac B'Torah, Oimer, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns, he has to say Halacha B'Shem Basav Adam. Ki'inyin, like you find, Yezeh B'ni Oimer Par V'Chulu. Ve'enoi Mechadish Ba'atzmoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the ability to be Mechadish Me'atzmoy. Ki'inyin Rabba Shechriya Tar Tar. Says the guy, you want to know where the Mechir of the Torah is? Because we know that Torah is loy b'shamayim hi. And because Torah is loy b'shamayim hi, that means who gets to decide pshat? Taner achnoi bav mitziyah daf nun tes. It's something that's dictated and it's defined 100% by Basav Adam. And he says, that's where the mechir of the Torah is. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he didn't just give us the right to also learn Torah. We're the balabatim of the Torah. And because we're the balabatim of the Torah, so there was a mechir, says the guy. And Zok the guy, that's the oimik in that gemara in Brachas Taf Hei. Where's the mechir of the Torah? What sheiches? They didn't sell it. They still has the Torah. It's true, but every chazal, if Yosef and Ikach, etc., etc., all these chazals that bring out this point, it's because there was a mechir of the Torah, the rights and the exclusivity in terms of determining what the amitos haTorah is, that's va'aretz nasan of ne'adam, that's something that was given to us. And because it was given to us, that's where it's chal the mechira. So Rav Shmuel Yankiv said that we say in the Dayenu, ilu kervonu lufnei har Sinai v'loi nasan lanu as haTorah Dayenu, v'kama kulmus in nishtabru, if the Eibushter would have taken us to har Sinai and not given us the Torah Dayenu, what would be the value of having come to har Sinai and not receiving the Torah? So everyone knows all the famous pshatim. But said Reb Shmuel Yankiv, l'fi this guy in Yed Shloimeh, there's one neifach over here. Ilu kervanu lufnei har Sinai, v'loi nosan lanu as haTorah. He wouldn't have given us the Torah, that the Torah is now ours. When we came to har Sinai, we didn't just get the Torah. The Eibushter sold us the Torah. He gave it to us b'matano. It's unzer Torah. And that's a dover noisif that we didn't necessarily have to have, and that's the kavan of that dayenu. Ilu kervanu lufnei har Sinai, v'loi nosan lanu as haTorah. Rav Shmuel Yankiv doesn't shtel this too, but I think a very, very obvious sushtel is the ktsois in his akdama, which we've mentioned a few times, where the ktsois writes in his akdama, number one, why he named the sefer ktsois achoshen miloshen kfutsois of sturis loy tarpalim. Dover Nifla Adamoy, but Toich Dvarav, the Ktsois, and really this is the essence of the whole point of the Hakdama the Ktsois. He talks about this Indian of Torah Loi B'Shamayimi, and he says that's the Oimik that Chazal say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, so there was a fight between Emes and Chesed. Emes said, you're going to create the world, it's not going to have any kiyum, it's not going to be shaykh. Chesed said, no, a person can do tshuva, etc., etc., right? We all know the Chazal. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to create the world, and I'm going to take Emes, and I'm going to throw it down to the ground. As the Pasuk says, Vayashlech Emes Artsa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Emes, and he threw it to the ground. Says the Ktsois, in a beautiful oifen, he says that what's the oimek? He says the oimek is that emes is dach the Torah. And really, the question was that how could Yidden have shaykhis to the Torah? The Torah was t'nohit chalash amayim, magli yulud ishi benyenu. This is not something l'chayra that a person has a shaykhis to. But what did the Eibush to do? Vatashlich emes arza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took emes, he took the Torah and he threw it down to the ground. And that's emes me'eres titzmach, says the Ktsois. That emes is something that sprouts from the ground. Emes
Torah is not dictated in Shamayim. Vatashleich emes arza ain sham, but vatashleich emes arza. Emes was put down in this world, and emes me eretz titzmach. You want to know where emes is going to come from? Loiba Shamayim. It's a Yosef and Ikachu Omer. It's Rabbi Bar Nachmeni and Baba Metzia Daf Pei Hei. It's something that comes 100% from this ground, and that's the Omek of the Oretz that was given to us, and the Torah comes from Basav Adam. So Toich Dvarim says the Ktzois, Vizuhi Birchas HaTorah. This is what we say in Birchas HaTorah. Asher Nosan Lanu Torah as Emes. You know what that means? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Nosan Lanu the Torah, and Torah's Emes is determined and it's dictated not by Vastutzach in Shamayim, but Asher Nosan Lanu Torah as Emes. It's the Lanu. We have the schus, we have the ability to determine what Torah's Emes is going to be. That Taich of the Ktzois. Asher Nosan Lanu Torah as Emes. That's what's the Yankov's Taich. Ilu Kirvanu Lefni Arsina. Loinasan lanu doesn't just mean he gave us the Torah. Abenasan lanu means that it's with the balabas of the Torah. It's the ktsoisis taich. Ashenasan lanu Torah semes. It's unzere Torah. It's mamish the taich of the ktsois. But al kabbarim, that's the oimik. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Where's the mechira of the Torah? Meicher otze. What do you mean? Eibush still has the Torah. It's not just one chelik of the Torah that we have that Kaviyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have, and that's Nosan Lanu. He gave it to us. Lanu V'loi Kaviyoch. We have it 100%. That is the ability to be able to determine what the Emes HaTorah is. It's Asher Nosan Lanu Torah Semes. That's what it is. That the Emes of the Torah, the Amitas of the Torah, the Aloch of the Torah is something that's determined by us.